Hello, this is Mary continuing with the reading of the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, October 27th, 2025, along with several selections from the weekend edition, dated October 25th and 26th, Saturday and Sunday. We will return now to the obituary selections. Sean Allen May. Sean Allen May, DDS, passed away on Thursday, October 23rd, in Peoria, Illinois. He was born in Decatur. Sean's visitation will be held from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Wednesday, October 29th, at Gracelawn Fairlawn Funeral Home, with a celebration of life beginning at 1 p.m. Burial will follow in Graceland Cemetery, with military honors rendered by the Macon County Honor Guard. Michael C. Prince, Decatur. Michael C. Prince, 97, of Decatur, passed away Thursday, October 23, 2025. Visitation will be Saturday, November 1, 2025, at the Moran and Gable Funeral Home from 10 a.m. until the service time of 11 a.m. Burial will follow in Boiling Springs Cemetery. Mary Helen Kilcola Sullivan. Mary Helen Kilcola, 97, passed away on October 22, 2025, at Aspen Creek Nursing Home in Sullivan, Illinois. Funeral Mass will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday, October 28th, at St. James Church in Decatur, with visitation in the church 1 hour prior to the Mass. Burial will be in Graceland Cemetery following the Mass. Memorials may be directed to a charity of the donor's choice. From the front page of the weekend edition of the Decatur Herald and Review, A Place for Creativity. Thinkwell Master Space Fosters Learning and Sharing, by Valerie Wells. Decatur. The last thing John Richard Little did at the Thinkwell Master Space was to finish a book he was writing. I found that I was not productive or creative in my home, he said. Too many distractions. If I went to Makerspace to write, I'd get it more done. I was there to do that project, and I didn't have chores and laundry looking me in the eye, and all the distractions of food and everything like that. Once he was a part of the community, though, he found many other reasons to stay, and is a regular member now. Basically, for me, it's a third space, a community space for friends and like-minded creators, to try out new hobbies or skills without getting so invested in the equipment, Little said. A lot of people can say my garage is full of the accoutrements of hobbies past. He moved here from Boise, Illinois, he said, because he saw the potential in Decatur for creativity and working with other people who were creative, too. It's nice to be creative, but so many of the tools there are very practically useful in real life, he said. Thinkwell Makerspace at 120 North Franklin Street has plenty of expensive pieces of equipment like vinyl cutters, 3D printers, embroidery machine, resin casting, and the Arduino Club, which is devoted to robotics and is in the process of building a robotic dragon. People can try things, often with someone nearby who already knows how and can help them learn, without the investment in the equipment. It's also open to the public on Wednesday and Saturday to give people a chance to come and check things out. While members can come any time, contact them at 217-228-6869 or email info@thinkwellmaker-space.com. The draw is people who can help you to do things, said co-owner Sam Johnson, a retired architect who worked for BLDD Architects. Thinkwell Makerspace hosts workshops led by members on topics from crochet to laser cutting and screen printing. And collaboration goes on informally all the time, he said, with creative people just brainstorming with each other and figuring out how to solve real-world problems, make prototypes of their ideas, and learning skills. The makerspace is located in The Hub, which includes several other community organizations like Project Read and Workforce Investments, providing a place where almost anyone can learn what they need to know. And they can solve real-world problems. For instance, if I don't have a fastener or a tape for a table or something, as long as I can get the profile and put it on the computer, we can make it, Johnson said. I use ThinkWell a lot for social reasons, said Shelley Long, who is there 3 times a week. I like to make things. I like to stay busy, and I do a lot of different crafts, knitting, crochet, and pottery, and upcycling projects, and I like to share my toys. It's just a really great environment with some really great people always looking to help solve difficulties in projects. It started with a summer camp for students, said co-owner Jesse Blunt. This grew out of the idea of sharing space and sharing tools, Blunt said. I didn't have a whole lot of resources or money to buy equipment. So I started a crowdfund with the idea of co-owning tools and whatnot, and I started using that to create STEAM programming for the Boys and Girls Club after-school program and getting the idea out. We started really small, but over the last year we established our nonprofit public charity status. We are working on ways to bring educators and other people together to not only use tools, but explore the intersection of STEAM and technology. Skills in STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math, are in demand in the job market, and helping students is the next step in the ThinkWell Makerspace plans, Johnson said. What he calls Makerspace 2.0 will be field trips for area schools so students can use the space to try out their own ideas and find their own interests. And after that, he said, the hope is to expand into the community and try to find ways to solve problems. Also from the front page, Slover Murder Case, Battle Over Evidence Continues by Tony Reed, Decatur. Defense attorneys battling to clear the name of a Decatur convicted killer, the last surviving defendant from a family of convicted murderers, tells a judge in their latest legal filing that new DNA evidence has already proved their client's innocence. And now the lawyers are urging the judge to allow the new evidence to be checked against a national DNA criminal database to speed a search that might reveal the real murderer or murderers, it is claimed. The attorneys for the Illinois Innocence Project and the Exoneration Project present Michael Slover Jr., 55, paroled in March of 2024, while serving a 60-year sentence for the 1996 killing of his 23-year-old ex-wife, Karen Hearn Slover. Michael Slover Jr.'s parents, Michael Slover Sr. and Jeanette Slover, also got 60-year sentences for the murder, but have since died in prison. The defense attorneys claim all three were wrongly convicted, and they want to use the new DNA evidence to reopen the case and get a hearing in Macon County Circuit Court aimed at overturning the guilty verdicts from the family's joint trial in 2002. A big step forward would be that goal would be A big step toward that goal would be the court permitting a search to see if there is a match between the new DNA and DNA from a perpetrator in a national database criminal archive, a move opposed by prosecutors and law enforcement. A previous court ruling in 2014 had allowed for new DNA testing in the case over prosecution objections. The latest legal filing by the defense claims that testing has already borne fruit by coming up with the, as yet, unidentified new DNA, which doesn't belong to any of the convicted Slovers. Michael Slover fought for years for the opportunity to conduct post-conviction DNA testing in his case because he believed the results would help demonstrate that he had nothing to do with Karen Hearn Slover's murder, said the new legal filing, signed by Tara Thompson, an attorney with the Exoneration Project. He was right. When he was finally able to have testing done, that testing revealed that not only was his DNA profile not found on numerous items of evidence connected with this crime, but unknown DNA profiles were found on critical items of evidence. This court should now allow Mr. Slover the additional DNA analysis he seeks, analysis that has the capability of identifying whose profiles are on evidence that points to the real perpetrators in this case. The new DNA was extracted from fingerprints left in the victim's blood and from duct tape used to seal bags containing her dismembered body. Karen Hearn Slover had been shot to death before her remains were found dumped in Lake Shelbyville. The prosecution side of things is being handled by former Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott, who came out of retirement to refight the case, and believes jurors got the verdicts right the first time. Wright is backed by the Illinois Attorney General's Office, representing the state police, who control access to the FBI-maintained Combined DNA Index System, or CODIS. And, in a previous 189-page legal filing, Assistant Attorney General Matthew P. Banich laid out why the newly discovered DNA wasn't worthy of being considered as evidence. He said the materials it had been taken from had been farmed out to independent laboratories and handled repeatedly since the original court trial. That meant the crucial chain of evidence procedures needed to shield evidence from contamination were violated, he alleges. Banik argued in his legal filing that trying to upload substandard evidence into the national database would contravene strict procedural rules and could result in the state police being barred from the system altogether. Illinois State Police's position opposing petitioner's motion to submit DNA samples is eminently reasonable, considering that ISP has much to lose if it were to violate this criteria and standards, which ISP knows are not met here, Banik said. The Slover legal team has a fallback position on this issue, however. If it ultimately isn't allowed to submit its DNA samples, it asks for the court to permit a manual keyboard search of CODIS. This is a one-time look for a specific existing profile in the database. It would not serve as an automatic comparison against future DNA samples entered into CODIS. As for arguing the issue of whether the underlying DNA has been contaminated or not, the defense says the judge hearing the case, Rodney Forbes, should listen to the scientists. And the legal expert for the defense is Alan Keel, described as a national authority on DNA testing. This court should hear in person from Mr. Keel and whoever the Illinois State Police seek to offer in support of their opposition to Mr. Slover's motion, and make findings of facts based on that testimony, said Attorney Thompson with the Exoneration Project. Judge Forbes has scheduled a hearing for Thursday, October 30th, to begin to resolve the long legal battle over what will happen to the new DNA. In local news, Cantrell Street CVS set to close, by Danette Beckett. CVS Pharmacy and Store, located at 1595 East Cantrell Street in Decatur, will be closed for good on November 18th. According to store manager Tyler Craig, no more inventory will be accepted. The leftover merchandise will be shipped to other CVS stores. Right now, food and liquor, besides beer, is 50% off, he said. Customers who use the Cantrell Street CVS to fill their prescriptions will have the choice of other Decatur pharmacies, including the CVS stores on Monroe Street, Fairview Avenue, and inside the Target store on Westbound Road. According to management, if the customer doesn't contact the pharmacy, the account will be moved to the Fairview Avenue location. Other services that will be lost with the closing of the store will include the Photo and Imagine Center and the grocery section. The store's management was unable to provide information on why the store is closing. Pharmacy Express opens. As one pharmacy prepares to close, another has opened. Decatur Pharmacy Express, 2499 North Monroe Street, Decatur, recently opened near Decatur Memorial Hospital. The locally owned pharmacy offers free deliveries. Hours are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday. Maine Quatom is the owner and pharmacist of the newest pharmacy, but he has worked in various corporate-owned businesses throughout Decatur, including Kroger, CVS, and Walgreens. This is really not a business, it's actually a community service I'm trying to provide for the patients of Decatur, Quatom said. The pharmacist is often backstage of the pharmacy, Quatom noted, and we should be at the front of the pharmacy. Quatom says healthcare has been challenging for many. As a pharmacist that has worked in the Decatur area, I want to take that initiative to help these patients, he said. The pharmacist is the most accessible healthcare professional in the field, so people come to us for a lot of questions. Quatom purchased the building that once housed Dr. Nehemiah Tan's practice. He said he has worked with corporate pharmacies and witnessed the patients' struggles. One-third of the business has the counter space ready for customers, including a curtained-off area for immunizations and shelves filled with over-the-counter medicines. The remainder of the building has individual rooms, which Quatom helps to use for expanded services in the future. It could be used by physicians or clinicians, Quatom said. Gunman Gets 20 Years in Shooting by Tony Reed, Decatur. Carlos L. Leyva, the Decatur gunman who shot a male victim in the head in Springfield, has been sentenced to a total of 20 years in prison. The shooting dates back to the early morning hours of December 2022, when the Springfield Police Department said Leyva pulled a gun in a parking lot in the 200 block of South 5th Street. Responding patrol officers found the wounded 22-year-old victim lying on the sidewalk in front of a nightclub called the Wet Bar. He had been rushed to Springfield Memorial Hospital, where surgeons managed to save his life. Witnesses gave a description of a car seen fleeing the scene, and police interrupted Leyva's vehicle close by Interstate 72 shortly after the shooting. Leyva's case had been listed for a trial, but the 36-year-old defendant appeared in Macon County Circuit Court on October 17th and took a plea deal. He admitted the aggravated discharge of a firearm, and Judge Jack D. Davis II sentenced him to 15 years. Leyva also pleaded guilty to the aggravated fleeing and eluding of peace officers and was given another sentence of 5 years, with the judge ordering the two prison terms to run consecutively. The 15-year sentence will be served at 85%, while the lesser sentence is subject to day-for-day credit. New artifacts to display at Oglesby Mansion. Decatur. The Governor Richard J. Oglesby Mansion will showcase newly donated artifacts. The mansion will be open to the public from 2 to 4 p.m. The museum recently received two original Oglesby family artifacts from Oglehurst, the Oglesby family estate. The items, a pristine top hat once worn by Oglesby, and a steamer trunk belonging to his wife, were donated by Katie Schilling. These might be one of the last Oglesby family heirlooms available for the museum to acquire, said Dave Davis, president of the Governor Richard J. Oglesby Mansion and Museum. More information is available on the museum's Facebook page or at oglesbymansion.org. Lincoln Memorial Hospital names CEO by J. Jack Akir. Lincoln. Lincoln Memorial Hospital has named Tamar Cutts its new president and CEO, effective today, Monday, October 27th. Cutts, who has been serving this year as interim president and CEO, takes the helm as her predecessor, Dolan Dalpas, was promoted to Chief Community Impact and Philanthropy Officer at Memorial Health, according to a press release. Cutts has been with Memorial Health since 2010 and has served as Vice President for Quality Operations at Decatur Memorial Hospital. She holds a bachelor's degree in management from the University of Illinois Springfield, a bachelor's degree in health services administration from Lincoln College, and a master's degree in business administration from Benedictine University. She is also a board member of the Richland Community College Foundation and Lincoln Elementary School District 27. Turning to the Monday, October 27th edition, Today in History, October 27th. On this date, in 1787, the first of the Federalist Papers, a series of essays calling for ratification of the United States Constitution, was published. In 1962, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, a U-2 reconnaissance aircraft was shot down while flying over Cuba, killing the pilot, U.S. Force Major Rudolph Anderson, Jr. In 1995, a sniper killed one soldier and wounded 18 others during an outdoor physical training session at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Paratrooper William K. Kretzer was convicted in the shootings and condemned to death. The sentence was later commuted to life in prison. In 1998, the powerful Hurricane Mitch cut through the Western Caribbean, pummeling coastal Honduras and Belize. The storm caused several thousand deaths in Central America before eventually making U.S. landfall in Southwest Florida as a tropical storm. In 2004, the Boston Red Sox won their first World Series since 1918, sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals in four games. In 1918, a gunman shot and killed 11 congregants and wounded 6 others at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue in the deadliest domestic attack on Jews in U.S. history. Authorities said the suspect, Robert Bowers, raged against Jews during and after the rampage. Bowers was convicted and sentenced to death in 2023. What to watch on Monday, October 27th, 2025. All times are central. NFL football, Washington at Kansas City. ABC and ESPN beginning at 7 p.m. The Washington Commanders collide with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in tonight in Kansas City for Week 8's Monday Night Football matchup. The Neighborhood, a new episode, Welcome to Spades, on CBS at 7 p.m. TV We Love, The Love Boat, on the CW at 7 p.m. This nostalgic docuseries celebrates 8 of America's most iconic TV shows and continues with this new episode about The Love Boat. The Voice, 7 p.m. on NBC as the battle rounds end and knockouts begin. DVM, CBS, 7:30 p.m. New episode of a new show this year. FBI, CBS, 8 p.m. New episode with Juliana Aidan Martinez joining the regular staff as Special Agent Eva Ramos. A new series, Baked with Love, Holiday, Hallmark Channel, 8 p.m. Tamara Mowry Housley hosts this new series that features 10 talented pairs of home bakers baking off in a warm-hearted family recipe bake-off. Each baker will infuse their heritage, personal stories, and cherished family recipes into classic bakes with a twist, where they serve their dishes to a panel of expert judges. In the end, one pair will be crowned the Christmas baking champions and win the ultimate prize of $50,000. American Experience on PBS at 8 p.m. The two-part film Kissinger is an incisive portrait of enigmatic power broker Henry Kissinger. Part 2 will air tomorrow. Watson, CBS, 9 p.m., with a new episode, Expletive Deleted. And Brilliant Minds on NBC at 9 p.m., with a new episode, The Doctor's Graveyard. To catch a classic, Planet of the Apes Marathon, Movies, beginning at 7:05 a.m. If you're a fan of the dystopian thrillers featuring an intelligent species of apes fighting for control over humans, then head out over to Movies today for a marathon of the sci-fi franchise based on Pierre Boulle's 1963 novel, Planet of the Apes. All four sequels of the original 68 film, in order, will air from morning until mid-afternoon. 1970's Beneath the Planet of the Apes. 1971, Escape from the Planet of the Apes. 1972, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. And 1973's Battle for the Planet of the Apes. If you're not that interested in Planet of the Apes, there are other movies showing as well. In the evening, beginning with The Happening, Science Fiction, 2008, FX, 5 p.m. Fight or Flight, 2024 Action, on Showtime, 5:15 p.m. Never Let Go, 2024 Horror Movie with Halle Berry, on Stars, 5:25 p.m. Hotel Transylvania, a 2012 children's movie with Adam Sandler, on Freeform at 6 p.m. Set It Off, 1996 action movie with Jada Pinkett and Queen Latifah, on BET at 6 p.m. Tremors, a 1990 horror film with Kevin Bacon, AMC, 6 p.m. M3GAN, horror movie, on E at 6:30 p.m. It, 2017 horror film, on IFC at 6:45 p.m. The First Purge, 2018 action film, on VH1 at 6 p.m. Goosebumps, a 2015 fantasy, starring Jack Black, on Sci-Fi at 9 p.m. Pulp Fiction, 1994, a crime drama with John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson, Showtime at 9 p.m. Novocaine, a 2025 action movie on MGM at 9:55 p.m. And Jeepers Creepers, a 2001 horror movie with Gina Phillips, on AMC at 10 p.m. In addition to Monday Night Football, Game 3 of the World Series with Toronto at the Dodgers is tonight on Fox, beginning at 7 p.m. There is also NHL taking place tonight on the NHL Network at 6 p.m. St. Louis taking on Pittsburgh. And there is men's tennis, the MLS Conference Playoffs, beginning at 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. on FS1. This has been Mary with selections from the Decatur Herald and Review from Monday, October 27th, 2025, with several stories from the weekend edition, dated October 25th and 26th, Saturday and Sunday. I look forward to reading with you again soon.